Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan has the day off. He's at the State Boroughs Association, and an offshoot of that is, I guess it's the mayor's committee. It's a segment of that, so that he takes the day off to take good care of Shamokin Dam, which he is the mayor of. But John Shipman comes in, former Sunbury City Council person, treasurer on the City Council, currently on the Albright Council in Sunbury. He's been an SRI leader, Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated leader for many years. All the offshoot of SRI, can you believe it?
How old? Albright?
No, but what's the name of the committee of SRI that you, the Spark?
Spark. Yes.
Right, Sunbury Pride and Renaissance Coalition. He's on that group. Employed gainfully at Lone Oak Financial, but you also help out the other shop up in Lewisburg?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And so you're helping there. And 18th Street Financial was your company, and the insurance place on 4th Street in Sunbury.
Midpen.
Jeez, isn't that something?
It's almost ancient history now, Mark.
Well, yeah, Midpen is that would be about 15 years ago.
Yeah, they okay. They were Midpen was purchased by First National Insurance in the. About 2005 or six, along in there.
Well, now you're, I assume, when you help out at Lone Oak Financial, insurance is your specialty at
that
table? Okay. So if you're talking to a business or a family about finances, it's common to make sure that you have a specialty in terms of an attorney that's nearby, an insurance person, and, of course, a financial whiz.
Correct.
Of course, you wear that hat, too. So, but you keep all those in-house if you can, I guess, if
yes,
it makes sense.
Yes, we do have most all that in-house.
Okay. So when you're talking life insurance, you don't have to speculate.
No.
Well, I think term insurance is, I'm not sure, but you should have some. Well, that would be a phrase you'd never hear if John is around. So, all right, Albright Council, things going satisfactorily there?
SRI has taken the Albright back. We've now been broken down into three committees, an internal committee, which is working with the building, an external committee, which is doing the things that need to be done outside fundraising, and then a governance committee. So I am at this point just on the internal committee, focused on the building, and we've got some good progress. City Council this week passed an RFP for services for an architect, and so we are now going to be putting out requests for proposals for architects to do a final design for us and so forth. So that's exciting, and things are moving along there.
And do you get a sense when a final design is complete that implementing that would be in the 4, 5, 6 million range?
Probably tops out if you got all of the little wish lists that you would like to have, why probably 6 or 6.5 million. Bare bones would probably be 2 or 2.5, and I suspect we'll be ending up somewhere in between.
All right. So, well, we'll keep an eye on that. I just think it's fascinating as the process of the super smart people like you and Bob Zimmerman and Mel Purdy and Slade Schreck was on Albright Council. These folks seem to have better vision than I do. I see broken bricks and say that's the way it is, but you guys see that and you see potential.
Well, we have the building is just a jewel. The building is just an unbelievably gorgeous building, built like you couldn't afford to build today virtually. And so I think that just the desire to see that building preserved and put to a good use for the community. And we envision some good things, activities for kids and concerts and plays and for the whole family, and just to see that building as a vibrant piece of the local community again.
And the garden area, it was called?
That's done, yeah. We expect...
Indoors.
Yes. We expect, that's the lower level. It used to be called the basement, but if you saw it now, you can't call it a basement. It is beautiful. It's all been refurbished and turned into a beautiful venue for up to 250 people. We can serve meals there. There's a stage down there. You can have all kinds of presentations and meetings, and so it's just a gorgeous venue. So it's not a basement anymore.
All right, so that's available now.
It
right?
is.
Okay, so contact SRI, SunburyRevitalization.org, if you're interested in that. John Shipman is with us. He's our co-host. I bring him in here because, first of all, he's interested, eager, and willing, and able. He has good, conservative, solid, common sense viewpoints I always talk about, and so he likes to talk about those. But this Albright Council thing fascinates me as well. So when you hit the next milestone and you need outreach, boy, come back to our Sunrise Show or this show, and we'll get that out there.
Appreciate that.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We have a toll-free line that is open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us throughout our show at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. The president got his way, and if you would hear his version of this, tariffs were averted, and additional efforts to keep individuals, either illegal immigrants from getting into the U.S. or to be overrun with individuals seeking asylum, both of those efforts are going to come to fruition. That's his version. I guess the other version is that Mexico's doing what it was going to do anyway, and the tariffs was an invented threat from the president, but he's allowed to invent tariffs. That's his prerogative.
Absolutely.
What's your view on that?
Tariffs have been around since the beginning of our country. 1789 until 1913, tariffs were one of the major ways for the United States government to raise revenue. Interestingly, in 1913, the average tariff was 40%. Now think about that. We're fussing about 5%, but the average tariff was 40%. Mr. Wilson got his way, and we passed an income tax. And so the income tax, coming of the income tax in 1913, slashed tariffs from 40% to 25%. Tariffs historically have been a way for governments to raise income. And the Constitution, for instance, prohibits tariffs between the states because, as one nation, we didn't want to do that.
We're a united
Correct.
States.
So tariffs have been around forever. Tariffs, however, have become more than just a revenue raiser. Tariffs have become a way for countries to protect weak industries. They have a fledgling industry in whatever, and say in the 1920s in automobile making, and the United States was the king of automobile makers, and so you would put a tariff on United States autos coming into your country to help your fledgling automobile industry get going. So in the 20th century, tariffs became more than just a revenue raiser. It became a way of protecting some kinds of industries in your country, and promoting, by the way, Constitution does not allow the United States to charge tariffs on things going out of our country, which makes sense. Only recently, I cannot think of, and I cannot find any case where a president of the United States used tariffs as leverage like this president does.
To do other things.
Yes, and generally it's been about trade.
Chinese tariffs are about trade.
China is has tremendous tariffs on some of the things that we export to them. Why should we charge a country 2% on what they sell to us, but they charge us 10 or 15% on what we sell to them? So I believe the president is correct that tariffs are unfair in the way they've been used. Germany, for instance, not only we have a tariff on German imported automobiles of 2%. They have a tariff on United States manufactured cars that sell in Germany of 10%. But then they give their automakers a bonus incentive for every German car that they sell in the United States. So not only do they have a tariff on our stuff that's five times what our tariff is, they give their automakers a cash incentive to sell cars here. So, trade isn't fair. I think that's what President Trump is concerned about. The other thing is that the way the tariffs have become, it has killed United States working middle-class families, because the tariffs have been placed on goods that we sell, not services so much, but goods that we sell. So the tech companies, they can export their iPhones or the technology all over the world, but the people who made the cars and the people who made the steel and the people who made the aluminum, these people really got hurt when there's huge tariffs on U.S. stuff going overseas, but they're dumping their stuff here in the United States at sometimes at cost or below cost, and then their government is making up the difference. So tariffs in themselves have become very unfair in the last 45 since World War II. But this is the first time that I can think of, and I'm a history buff, but it's the first time that I can think of where a president has used tariffs for other than economic issues. And actually, I support what he's done. Think about this. Mexico is a sovereign state, yet they allow hundreds of thousands of people to migrate through their country. Now, Mexico is over 1,000 miles long. This is not a short walk. It's not like you're just, not like Europe where,
this is a quest.
Yes. So they're allowing.
And there's no equivalent. Like in Pennsylvania, you don't walk along Interstate 80 and you see individuals, well, I came into the country illegally in Mexico and I'm trying to get to Canada. And so we just raise our arms and say, okay, well, you keep walking.
No.
There's no equivalency.
No other equivalent. So Mexico is complicit in this, in that they have just ignored the issue. Okay? So they have hundreds of thousands every year. Over 100,000 came into the United States in May alone. 143,000, I think. So Mexico has been complicit in this, and we have tried over 40 years. Ronald Reagan in 1986 passed a bill that gave all illegal aliens who were in the United States at the time a path to citizenship, with the understanding that we were going to close the southern border and we were going to control immigration. Well, all those illegals got to be legal, but we never followed up on the other two parts of it, closing the border and reforming immigration. So, it's and we get back to the donor class, and I hate to keep harping on this, but when you have the Koch brothers, who are staunch conservatives, and George Soros, who is about as liberal as they get, both in favor of illegal immigration, you think, now what's going on here? Who's going to get the short end of this stick? And it's going to be the American working people who get the short end of the stick, and that's just the way it is. And so Mexico is complicit. I think that Trump was he understands economics, I think. He uses the tax code to his advantage, and I don't blame him for that, but he understands how economics work. And so he understands that it has to be somehow to Mexico's benefit to let all these people come through Mexico. Hundreds of thousands a year, million a year now. This year, by the way, will be the first year since the Clinton administration that we'll probably have over a million illegal immigrants come into the United States.
Or asylum seekers are mixed in.
Well, but asylum seekers, you know what happens? Almost none of them who claim asylum actually get asylum because they're saying, well, things are really bad in Nicaragua. Well, yeah, things are bad all over the world. But, you know, that you personally are not being persecuted. Maybe the whole country's being persecuted, but you personally don't have a reason to seek asylum. You're not being hunted by your government for trying to spread democracy. So asylum is, and that's what they all claim. Oh, I'm here, you know, I've been oppressed. Well, I guess if you ask me, probably everybody in Nicaragua has been oppressed. You know, the government is corrupt and the people suffer.
So people travel from Guatemala into Mexico, make their way here, and if they don't get through in a timely fashion, they decide to become immigrants illegally?
Well,
or they cross the border illegally?
Most of them now are being brought here. They're no longer walking 1,000, 1,500 miles. There's buses. I mean, this has become an organized thing.
And we see the train, too.
The cartel, right.
Full of people.
The cartels are in it and so forth. So, and how they do that is they come here and they sign it. They promise to pay $5,000, $7,000. That depends on them getting into the United States and getting a job, even if they're illegal. So if you shut that ability to repay, that takes the incentive away from the smugglers.
All right, we are talking President Trump and immigration in Mexico, and we have somebody who studied up on this, although really only had to pay attention to current events to know what he knows about tariffs and taxes and some of these political issues, John Shipman. Join our conversation. What's wrong with what President Trump has done, if anything? Give us a call, 1-800-795-9565, or if you favor what President Trump has done and you think that it's turned out to be sound policy, maybe we'll see if Mexico follows through. We had one of our good callers a couple of weeks ago who described Mexico's government, and it's not a favorable description. It's not, you know, we think of government as something that's sturdy and sound, and you can find tons of honest people there, and that's just the opposite of what we heard from our good caller. So we'll take more comers on this topic. Trump, tariff, taxes, Mexico. Well, I guess taxes aren't really stuck in there. I just stuck that. It's another T word. But John Shipman is here. So call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of All Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
It's the father of all sales going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, talking tariffs, trade, Mexico, immigration, illegal immigration, and asylum. And Mexico, strangely enough, allows individuals to pass right through their country if they say they're coming to the U.S., whether they have a right to be in the U.S. or not. They just let them pass right through. So that's one of the things the president got, is they're going to try to stop some of the individuals at Guatemala. They're going to accept some individuals. Okay, if you're being oppressed in Nicaragua, welcome to Mexico. Have a nice day. This is your new waylay station. See if you can stay here.
Well, the U.S. has always accepted people who have a legitimate complaint or a legitimate reason for fleeing the country they were in. You know, under President Obama, we brought in over 100,000 Somalis. We know that we know the situation in Somalia, and we've all watched Black Hawk Down and all that kind of stuff. So we understand that Somalia today still is a lawless country. There are warlords and gangs.
No change.
Okay, and the United States has no concept. Most Americans have no concept of what it is. We have an orderly government, even though it seems like now it's in chaos. But we have an orderly government. Things run pretty smoothly. Most of our politicians are honest people who maybe disagree, but they're honest people. And this is what we think is normal around the rest of the world. But I got to tell you that in 90% of the world, that's anything but normal. The strongest guy rules. He's a dictator. He does whatever he wants. If he doesn't like you, he kills you. If you speak up, he hunts you down. And those people have, they are legitimate people who are looking for asylum. Just because the economy in your country is not good doesn't give you a reason to seek asylum.
Well, my lovely bride and I are on Netflix watching Chernobyl. This about the and individuals that go against the government lie about Chernobyl were told, well, you can either testify that this is what happened or you get the bullet. You know, it's not a lifetime in jail. It's not punishment. Mm-hmm. It's not banishment. It's the bullet.
Right.
You know, so we talk about this U.S. government. Well, there's corruption in Harrisburg. Well, that's true, but not like there is elsewhere.
No, you know, the United States, really, we are blessed. And anybody that says the United States is not the greatest country that ever existed just doesn't understand what the rest of the world is like.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Please join our conversation. Tom, thank you for calling in. You are on the mark.
Well, as usual, Trump has it all wrong.
What's your view on this?
If you want to stop people from coming into this country, maybe he ought to start going around to the employers and rooting out all these people that are working here illegally. And he can do that. It is perfectly within his right to do that. All they got to do is get a bunch of people, hire some people, go around to all these employers and start rooting them out and sending them back. And that's going to send a message. That's going to send a message to these other people that want to come here that you're not welcome here. You can't come here. There's nothing for you here. Another thing he needs to do, which is perfectly legal, he can go after all these people that came here on temporary visas, which is like half of them, and he can start rooting them out and sending them back. But he's not doing that. And those are two things that he could do right now, which would be very effective. He would get rid of a lot of these people, and it would send a message to the other people, don't come here, you're not welcome here, there's no jobs here for you, there's nothing for you. But he won't do that. And one of the reasons that he won't do it is because he needs the people to work for him, because he's a crook. He's got these people working for him in his golf courses and his hotels and motels.
You think to this?
He's not doing the thing. There's easy things he could do. Approval from the Congress. He doesn't need any approval. He can do these things right now. They would be very effective, and he's not doing them because he's a crook himself, and he wants these people. He won't raise the minimum wage because of him. If he raised the minimum wage, then he would have to pay the people that he has working for him, at least some of the legal ones, but he won't do any of the things that he could do that are easy. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Excellent viewpoints. Let's stay on the line. Let's let John
respond.
Let me respond
a little bit. The Trump administration is beginning to crack down on employers. They have...
Yeah, right.
Hold on, Tom. Go ahead.
You know, listen, if you want to be sarcastic, that's okay. But if you want to listen to what I have to say, then I'll be glad to have a discussion.
Okay. So employers are being told, make sure your folks are legal.
Employers are now being arrested. There were three or four employers just in the month of May who were arrested and fined for having illegal immigrants working there. The problem is that there's a law on the books already that the Obama administration, by executive order, set aside, and that was E-Verify, where employers were before the Obama administration were required to verify the legal residence of a person, and the Obama administration set that aside. But when I ran several successful businesses, and when I was in business in the 90s and 2000s. You had to do a form that the person had to sign so that you could verify that they were in this country legally. But the Obama administration set that aside. The Trump administration is beginning to do that. I agree with this gentleman that they are not doing enough, but they have begun doing it. The sad part about it is that in this case, the Chamber of Commerce is fighting Donald Trump because the Chamber of Commerce doesn't want this to happen, but it's starting to.
People need workers. All right, let's give Tom the last word. Go right ahead, sir. Go ahead and finish up.
That's all I have to say. There isn't near enough being done. If they only got three people, if they only caught three employers, I mean, there's probably thousands of them out there, and they caught three. That's not very good.
And what were your main 2 points? One, that we should get employers. What was the second one?
They should go after all these people here that came here on
temporary visas. Gotcha.
That's like half the people.
All right. Gotcha.
That's like half of them.
Right. Individuals in the U.S. illegally. Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Tom.
Right.
Good food for thought. Temporary visas.
And I agree with him. Temporary visas are a big problem. People come here. The Trump administration is now starting to track some of those down. But we have hundreds of thousands that come here on temporary visas as students and or as tourists and just never go home. Interestingly, the United States government can track a cow to the stall it was born in, but we can't track all these illegal people who are running all around our country.
To be continued. Thank you so much. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm so glad John Shipman is back as our co-host today. Joe McGranahan's got the day off, but Rob Center is where he always is, and that is in the producer's seat, so we appreciate that. Matt Cotrillo's over in the newsroom. He monitored traffic all morning long. Without the kiddos in schools, we had very smooth traffic around here, so that was helpful. Even Kevin got to work on time today, so that's noteworthy. We're still slow going through Northumberland, but traffic-wise, everything else is calm and quiet, so we're doing okay traffic-wise out there. We'll keep an eye on the Google traffic, couple to 2-3 times an hour, so you do not have to. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company, check them out at sunburymotors.com. They sell Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks. They got great big Ford trucks. If you need an F-350 or 450, a dump truck with dual axles in the back, and you want it to be comfortable as you ride in the front of that dump truck, well, then that's a big truck. But they got small Fords, too. You can still find a Focus or Fiestas. There's still a few of those in the world. And you can get Explorers, the whole E-Class, from the Explorer, the Expedition, on up. Well, the Expedition is the biggest one, but Explorer. And what's in between? There's another. Excursion. Oh, the Excursion is the biggest of the big. There you go. And they got the F-150, most popular pickup truck in the whole world. Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks. They have hundreds of models of each of these vehicles on 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and or 4th Street in Sunbury. And if you don't find what you need at those locations, they could build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specification. They would just love to super serve you with your next vehicle. Go to sunburymotors.com, get the contact started. You can still contact Mike down there at Sunbury Motors or Ernie or Austin at the Kia dealership. They'll take very good care of you at the Sunbury Motor Company. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us now, 1-800-795-9565. We've been talking about trade and tariffs and Mexico and immigration and illegal immigration. Companies who hire individuals who have been in the U.S. illegally. A bit of a crackdown that's underway, so we're going to talk about that. We got some finding of fact from one of our listeners, so we'll read those on the air. You can email us throughout our our show at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. That's for Text Connect members. Just reply to a previous message or start a new one at 70236, and you sign up for Text Connect at wkok.com. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. The city of Sunbury continues to expand its police force. At Monday night city council meeting, they hired Aaron Doyle, who will serve as a part-time officer, $22 per hour. Mayor Kurt Karlovich says the city is attractive to these individuals who are looking for police work.
For part-time police officers, I have realized that we do pay the highest for part-time police officers in the area.
Officer Doyle says that's true.
I had an opportunity to get rehired here in Sunbury, and up-and-coming department I decided to hire on and do a career realignment.
He is currently an EMT at Evangelical Community Hospital, or work for the city of Sunbury part-time. The fight to combat gun violence in Pennsylvania is a personal one for two freshman state lawmakers, Democrats who recently shared their stories at a state capitol rally.
Representative Movita Johnson-Harrell says she's been exposed to gun violence most of her life.
Easter Sunday, March 30th, 1975, my father was murdered in front of my family. I was 8 years old. Years later, on July 1st, I lost my only brother. He was murdered over a girl.
Ben Johnson-Harrell's 18-year-old son was murdered in a case of mistaken identity in January 2011. Representative Jennifer O'Mara says her father died from a gun suicide when she was 13.
Could we have done something to protect my father? Can we do something to help the thousands of lives that are being lost to gun violence every single day in Pennsylvania and in America? The answer to that question is yes.
Both O'Mara and Johnson-Harrell say they're determined to do so.
Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And one AP discussion, Associated Press discussion, about our topic on the show today. After 3 days after President Trump announced a deal with Mexico to stem the flow of migrants at the southern border, the two countries appear to be unable to agree exactly what's in it. Stung by criticism that the agreement mostly ramps up border protection efforts already underway, Trump Monday hinted at other secret agreements he says will soon be revealed. He says, quote, "We have fully signed and documented another important part of the immigration and security deal with Mexico, one that the U.S. has been asking about for many years." President Trump Monday said it would not be revealed until later what the rest of the elements are. The president of, the Mexican foreign secretary, holding up a paper and pointed to the previously announced details, told reporters the two countries agreed on two actions made public Friday and said if those measures didn't work to slow migration, they would look at other options between the U.S. and Mexico. All right, we got open lines. We got a couple of emails pending. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sends us a note, says, check your facts. Under the Obama administration, the influx of illegal immigrants was on the downswing. It's only since Trump has been in control that the illegal people has increased dramatically. As for tariffs being a good thing, I suggest you talk to our many farmers about the tariff wars that affected their export prices on a number of exports. Truth is, Trump's a disaster. Let's drain the swamp and turn it into a cesspool, says one of our listeners. Reaction to that, we know illegal immigration was on the downswing, but I think President Trump getting tough with illegal immigration...
Actually, if you look at the Obama years, it was all over the place. There were years when it was fairly high. There were years when it was fairly low. This was because there was no economic opportunity to come. Why come to the United States when we had millions of Americans out of work and looking for work? So there was not the economic opportunity. Now, under President Trump, the economy's booming. There's a demand for jobs. And, would you rather come illegally to the United States and work for $6 an hour, or would you stay in Mexico and work for $2.50 or Guatemala for a buck and a quarter? And obviously, that's the motivation. The economic availability of good jobs has dramatically increased under the Trump administration.
Right, because we have so many jobs that are going wanting in the U.S. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number that Lance called. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Well, we shouldn't forget the effect that the sanctuary city ruling you know, that sanctuary cities were just constitutional and legal plays in all this. I mean, man, that would draw them like flies to chocolate cake, wouldn't it? Because, you know, once they get here, hey, you know, nobody's going to bother them. That's a lot. And all that was upheld by, well, Obama-appointed judges, was it not? So that's a, you know, a big deal there.
It's a good observation.
Yeah, and see, when ISIS does try to deport people, why, there's a hue and cry from the liberal end, you know, that this is just horrible. So they coddle them, they hide them, they do all kinds of stuff. Was down in Oklahoma, was a hot dog plant. Well, actually, I think it was owned by Swift. I'm not sure. It was one of the big outfits, though. And there was a huge number of illegals, of course, working there. And they were tipped off. Nobody showed up for work the day that they were supposed to raid the place. I mean, this was in the journal. I mean, this wasn't something that was...
Well, we used to have raids around here. Within 50 miles of here, you could find individuals working on construction projects and working illegally, and then a bit of a crackdown would happen. This was under the George H.W. Bush administration, so you're going way back here. But then they wouldn't have enough workers, or workers would flee when the vans pulled up. You know, they'd pull six vans up, and half the workers would head for the hills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost a joke there. But sanctuary cities really play a big role there, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and okay, so let's list the people. Lance, stay on the line. And the president's trying to crack down on illegal immigration. Who's working against keeping individuals out of the U.S. illegally?
Well, first of all,
Mexico.
Mexico is. Secondly, every Democrat in Congress, including our own Senator Casey, who has repeatedly voted to protect the illegal aliens and give them preference. So every Democratic person...
In what way are Republicans?
Republicans, some Republicans are complicit because the president does not have unanimity even in the Republican Party.
Koch brothers.
Sanctuary
cities.
Now announced that in this next cycle they're going to support Democrats.
So, you know, sanctuary cities fighting the president or
and
fighting this.
Interestingly enough, we have several sanctuary areas in the central Susquehanna Valley, and you know you can look that up. But we have several sanctuary designations in our local valley, which surprised me when I got that report.
Well, it used to be easy, but now that ICE is interested in deporting individuals, they're a little stealthier about that sort of thing. Okay, so sanctuary cities, employers who say I need... Oh, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is nothing to sneeze at in Washington.
It's all the powerful people against the working people. It's all the powerful interests in this country against the working people. You know, that's the way it is. I mean, a lot of the Republicans are in this just as deep as the Democrats are. You can't say it's all the Democrats and none of the Republicans. So it's the Chamber of Commerce. It's George Soros and the Open Society. It's all the powerful interests in our country against the American working people.
Lance, who else is against efforts to require individuals to come in the U.S. legally? Or did we get the whole list? I think we got the top ten.
Pretty well, covered it there.
We got the top seven.
That's it. We got the 1-2 punch. You know, the one once the future votes. That's for sure. Because one of the big Democrats when he saw all these illegals coming in. He said, this is the future of the Democratic Party.
Oh, geez, okay. I don't think there's a guarantee there.
They're going to vote for the same stuff they voted down below that caused them all the problems, which, of course, is this democratic socialism, right? You know.
All right. We got you, Lance.
People that are too rich, right? So they're going to take their money, and then they're going to run our businesses, and look what happened to Venezuela, look what happened to Argentina. Brazil is kind of turning around.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Thanks for the call. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. We'll read a little bit of some emails that have come in. One is a clipping that is from a private website. I don't recognize it. But anyway, it says, as of As is now generally common knowledge, the Trump administration has made immigration enforcement a top priority. In alignment with President Trump's campaign promises and related executive order regarding protecting work opportunities for Americans, ICE has significantly increased employer audits, workplace compliance visits, and worksite raids targeting employees as well as employers in 2018. ICE's year-end report for 2018 demonstrates staggering surges over the year in new investigations of businesses related to employment of unauthorized workers. ICE's press release in December states that HSI, the division responsible for worksite investigations, increased its number of investigations and audits by 300% to 750% during the past year, including 6,800 worksite investigations in 2018, up from just 1,600 the year before. So 6,800 in 2018, but just about 1,700 the year before. Almost 6,000 audits in 2018, up from 360. Wow. 360 in 2017. So the Obama administration ends and President Trump comes in, and then, or I guess Trump isn't in yet, actually, in 2017. And, oh, yeah, he is there. He's got 1 year. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting my brain.
That was his first year.
I'm getting brain scramble here. But anyway, 6,000 audits. So needless to say, ICE and the Trump administration is cracking down.
Those I-9 audits. I-9 is the form that employers are supposed to have every new hire sign, declaring that they are here legally and so forth.
Okay? And that their Social Security number is accurate and all
Correct.
This data.
That's what the Obama administration suspended. But the I-9s, every employer used to before Obama, you had to have those. If you hired, even if you knew who the person was, even if they were, you know, your second cousin, and you knew their whole history,
they had to
sign an I-9.
All right, this is from the New York Times. It says nearly 100 workers were detained at Southeastern Provision, a meat processing company in Tennessee in April last year, leaving many families without a breadwinner. The owner, James Brantley, pleaded guilty last year to federal charges of tax fraud, wire fraud, and bringing in and harboring aliens, and was sentenced scheduled to be sentenced in July. But in most cases, it's difficult to prove that employers knowingly hired people who were not authorized to work in the U.S. Most employers do not question documents submitted to them, and few states require them to use government systems to vet them. So that they just lie on the I-9, right? Okay, so that would happen. Another website says federal agents used the Homeland Security Investigations Bureau of Immigration and Customs Enforcement tossed out a net of over 300 illegal aliens yesterday during a raid at a technology company in Texas. HSI executed search warrants at a technology company and four of their staffing companies. The agency arrested on administrative immigration violations more than 280 company employees who were unlawfully working in the U.S. Now, that may be overstays. That's a place where overstays may be a factor. Correct. We don't quite know. Let's see. Another one. This is HRExecutive.com. Says the Trump administration is taking its campaign against illegal immigration to the workplace, according to the New York Times, which reports that recent raids by federal agents at dozens of 7-Eleven convenience stores last week were the administration's first big show of force to show employers that hiring undocumented workers is illegal. The story notes that the last flurry of public on-site investigations happened under George W. Bush and sent immigration agents to several meatpacking plants and other workplaces. Yeah, we do recall raids were happening around here. So let's see. Okay, so that takes care of that. That takes care of the emails that we have. There's one more. We'll read that after we take a quick break, but we'd love to light up the phones. What's your thoughts on this? Do you agree with everything we've said, or do you think it's time to... where's our compassion if we don't let individuals who are seeking asylum into the U.S. or those individuals who are just trying to get some money and send it back to their home lands? Is it not compassionate to do so? Sanctuary cities say they want to allow individuals to stay in the city illegally so that they can contribute to the economy, some of which are consumers, but other are contributors to the overall flow of things. And they also say it helps reduce crime if we all just get along without cracking down on individuals illegally. What's your view, folks? Call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of All Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to 16 grand. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
It's the father of all sales going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We'll take our callers back. Call us. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We are talking about tariffs, trade, Mexico, immigration, employers, visa overstays, and a crackdown on employers, which that would be under the president's ability to direct immigration officials to make sure they're enforcing all these existing laws. It doesn't even need an executive order for that.
Exactly. The president has broad authority on immigration. The courts have tried to limit that authority, unfortunately. But the Constitution gives the president broad authority. For instance, he can even say, we don't like Mexico. We think they're a problem. We're not taking anybody from Mexico. So the courts have disagreed on that, but if you look at the Constitution, so he has the authority to crack down on illegal immigration, and apparently, I thank the individual who has sent us some of these clips. I wasn't aware that it's been that broad, but it, apparently, when you have 7,000 or 8,000
investigations
in one fiscal year, that's a lot.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We got one caller waiting, and we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, New York Times was one of the clippings that had sort of a comprehensive story about things that were various crackdowns. Dale, you are on the mark. Go right ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just think we need to get back to the basics. That's we'll probably have a better understanding. And, that divide and conquer, if you talk about division and support division, you're doing the devil's deeds. So I'd say if we all get back to basics and say we're all God's children and understand that we're not commodities. So I just say, whoever's the media and our government supporting division, we all become a commodity, and they make money off it, and they take your keep to pay for this. They keep your keep. They take your keep to pay for this division. So, I mean, if these people here are more Christian than we are, and we're over here coming up for reasons not to allow them in our... This ain't our country. I mean, it's God's land, and we're God's children. So, I mean... This divide and conquer. I mean, we're backwards. I think we need to get back to the basics. It's God's land, and we're God's children. So,
all right.
I don't know.
Sound advice. Thank you so much.
The media and the Bar Association won't let it happen.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting point.
Interesting point. And,
yes,
Dale makes
yes,
it
yes.
Out. Here, I want to further expand on that. Every Democrat that now opposes cracking down, under the Bush, W, and Obama years, supported cracking down. So what changed? The only thing that changed is that we have a Republican in the White House. Now, listen, Mr. Trump is there's some issues with Mr. Trump, and I think we all agree with that.
He's a train wreck of a person.
Yeah, again, I'll say the reason he's in there is because he's not an insider. The the people are tired of the way Washington works for Washington, but Washington doesn't work for Northumberland County or Snyder County or Union County.
Somebody last week called him the Fred Keller of Washington, D.C. He went to where he was elected to be and did precisely what he said he would do.
Well, that's an amazing thing these days.
So now we have the Fred Keller of Washington, which is the real Fred Keller who's there. All right, Bobby, thank you for waiting a short time. You are on the mark. You're on the toll-free line, which is 1-800-795-9565.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Concerning immigration, of course, my grandparents and the family came from Germany, and of course, like they've, I'm going to say they founded this area, you know, along with not just the Germans, but came to work in the coal mines and came to work at the silk mill and you know, eventually became U.S. citizens. And so with that in mind, those who want to come to this country for education or for work, and that there should be some type of program set up for them to do that, and then that might, you know, it might benefit the companies as well as the government and all of us, you know, to kind of set an incentive program up.
Well, we do have.
Absolutely. We have a very strong visa program for foreign students who want to come to the United States to study in a college or university. They are granted very liberally, and as long as you can show that you're enrolled in an institution of higher learning and you are progressing on your education, those visas are extended. The problem that the other gentleman was talking about is after you're here and drop out of college after 2 years, you just don't bother to go home. And those visas are given for the specific purpose, or for instance, in that case, specific purpose of coming and getting an education. And the thought was there that if you came to the United States and got a good U.S. education, that you would learn to appreciate some things about the United States. And when you went back home to Thailand or the Philippines or Germany, you could say, you know, the United States is a pretty nice place, and they've got some pretty good ideas. But people just abuse that by dropping out. Obviously, they didn't continue their education, but then they don't go home either.
1-800-795. Thank you, Bobby. Yep, good observation.
I appreciate that information.
Well, what, about 1 million individuals per year?
1 million usually on that. And
legally.
Legally. And another 1 million on HB1 visas, which were, they've already graduated from college, and now they come here to work.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Cindy, thank you for calling in, for all your contributions today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mark, you raised the issue of compassion, and I think it's pretty compassionate that we let this 1 million people come to our country legally every year. We don't have to do that. Of course, it benefits certain sectors, higher ed, which has seen a strong decline in enrollment due to a shift in the population. They're benefiting because they have all these foreign-born students who are paying top dollar to attend their institutions, or their country is sending them that way. So they have a strong motive to want to persist in a very open-ended immigration policy because it's filling their classrooms and their coffers, which, you know, on one side, I get that. And I don't have a problem with people coming here to go to school. I don't even have a problem with people coming here legally to work. But I do take great issue with people who enter the country illegally. Now, in terms of compassion, most people don't understand that 60%, 60, this is per the Census Bureau, 60% of the people who come here legally obtain some kind of social services while they're here. So we're paying them. We are paying for them. When my daughter was in grad school, a graduate student from Vietnam got on food stamps. Well, why am I paying to feed a graduate student from Vietnam? Why?
Because she's a
and
person.
And why is that person absorbing resources that should be going to needy people who are here? Our own hungry children that, you know, there's this ad on the radio right now. Why isn't that money directed towards those folks? And then I raise the issue of this influx of illegals right now. They're bringing children. That's their ticket into the country, their golden ticket. Well, here's the problem with that. That's an enormous social cost to us. You and Mark, you may cry out for compassion, but when you consider the enormous cost in terms of education, health care, feeding, housing, this is enormous, enormous costs. And a million a year after year after year is just not sustainable. Remember how President Johnson started this war on poverty? And as a mature adult, I asked myself, how is it that in 40 years we have not been able to conquer poverty? Well, part of that answer is because we import poverty here. All these illegal aliens pouring across the border, they are stone cold poor, and it's a mystery to me where they're getting $5,000 to pay these coyotes to bring them into this country. But they take low-wage jobs. And Mark, you've had an economist on the show who said that when we allow this, they compete against the low-wage workers of this country. Well, how is that fair? How is that even appropriate for us to allow, you know, millions of people to come here and depress the wages of American citizens? I think that's terrible.
Well, in many cases, Americans won't do the jobs.
Oh, Mark, that's just nonsense. You know, this is just another one of these sentences that's been made up, these kind of anthems that they put out there. You know, I see people mowing lawns all the time. Don't tell me that Americans don't want to mow lawns. I see people building buildings all the time. Don't tell me that Americans don't want to build buildings.
Americans don't want to build buildings in sufficient numbers.
I know
there's a lot of workers and mowers around
here. Chinese restaurants that were being run by people who, I believe, came here legally, and they brought in illegal aliens, hid them in houses in the town, worked them at slave wages in those restaurants until they got caught. Mm-hmm. They deported the workers and dealt with the employers. So, you know, and they were fined. And I believe went to jail. So don't tell me that there aren't college students in State College that'll wait tables. I did when I went to school. Of course there are.
All right, we got another caller.
I've heard you speak out against a low minimum wage. Well, part of the factors that contributes to that is there's always someone else to take that job, and many of them are here illegally. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. I love it. 1-800-795-9565. We got a caller waiting. I got to take a quickie break. We will be right back. Welcome back. Billy, thank you so much for calling in. We were just talking about the League of Women Voters Forum when several individuals, even the Democrats, would refer to Preston Boop if they had a question about the statistics or numbers or the way things have run. So they were not sucking up. That's not the right word, but deferring to them occasionally. Welcome back to the airwaves, Billy. Thanks for calling in.
Sure, I actually don't want to make a point about anything in the county, just kind of a general point about government. One of your earlier callers mentioned the word compassion, and I get a little irritated, probably more like highly irritated, when people use the word compassion and illegal immigration and government programs in the same paragraph, because compassion is about me as an individual choosing to spend my time, my money, my devotion on someone else. When government has a program and takes my money by force and gives it to someone else, that's not compassion. It goes against the very definition of compassion. Compassion is a voluntary system. You can't have forced compassion. It's not compassion anymore. So we need to remove that word from this discussion. It has nothing to do with compassion. The programs that have to do with compassion are the ones where people are voluntarily helping others, whether they be legal, illegal, whether they be white, black, brown, whatever they are, rich or poor. When I help other people voluntarily, that's compassion. When the government takes my money and makes decisions to help them, that's not compassion.
That's compulsion.
It is compulsion.
Right.
Thank you. Good word.
Well said. Well, first of all, to be clear, I was the person who used it, and then Cindy responded. So if you heard her say that word, she was responding to me saying, well, do
well,
we
I think the earlier caller did, maybe Dale or Lance, somebody was mentioning it.
So, but in the U.S., we often use our government to extend our compassion, to make what we hope is sort of an ideal world happen, maybe a little bit less expensively, and maybe so that we don't have to do it directly. Like, I don't have to assist in making sure that individuals from low to moderate income have housing in the U.S. I pay super high taxes, and housing and, you know, our U.S. government does that and channels the money through Harrisburg and then slowly to the county level. And so of the dollar that I give to Washington, D.C., a dime of it goes to something that sort of extends my compassion into areas of housing. So, and I think we do the same thing with when we use our government for medical programs. You know, in Pennsylvania, and I'm assuming in every state, kids aren't uninsured. Well, you and I could donate thousands of dollars to Harrisburg or to whomever or to hospitals to do that directly, and it probably would be cheaper. But we don't do that. We contribute our tax dollars, and our governments extend the compassion that we have for children who might not be covered and take good care of them. So we use our government to extend our compassion.
Where are you getting these namby-pamby words like contribute? Again, contribute is a voluntary word.
You got me on that one.
if you want to talk about us doing things, talk about something like United Way. You know, that's a group where we decide to do things and we donate our money, and it's all voluntary. No one's threatening to throw you in jail if you don't donate to United Way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason, you know, historically in this country, other things were done voluntarily, but we've gotten away from this as a society. We've changed this mindset that, you know, I don't want to do it, so I'll just force everyone else to do it. And by fiat, by my representative, they'll just force everyone to be compassionate. That way I don't have to make decisions of being compassionate myself. And I'm not blaming necessarily government. Government's just a reflection of the mindset of the people that we're too willing to when you get someone else to do something for you because you don't want to do it, delegate. We're delegating.
Delegate, okay.
We're delegating this so we don't have to see it, we don't have to touch it, we don't have to feel it, but that's not compassion. It's not contributing. It's
let me pick up on that
thing. It's force.
Okay, appreciate your point, Billy. Let me pick up on that. Prior to the Depression of 1929 in the 1930s, charity was handled by either by individuals or by the church. The government had no programs to help individuals. The government was not in the business of doing that. And so either you helped somebody personally, you took food to them and so forth, or the church was the major sponsor of charity. When the government got involved under FDR, there was a crisis in the country that was unimaginable, 40% unemployment and so forth. So the government stepped in at that point, and from there, the government has just done more and more and more. But I agree with your point. Once the government gets involved, it's no longer compassion, it's compulsion. And the problem with that is, of the money they collect for these programs, 40%, 30% is used up in administration, and another 10 or 15% is used up in corruption. And so probably half of the money actually goes to benefit the people it's supposed to benefit. Anything that the government does costs way more than private sector.
I think your estimates are low. I think about 30% or 20% goes to rent subsubsidies, Section 8, or whatever the actual help that we're providing
probably,
is.
Yeah.
But that's I don't have that verified. Billy, thank you so much. Super points. I really appreciate your calling in. I think you should contribute more to the United Way, so I compel you to to donate still more, please. Okay.
Well, you know, it's funny to me when you look at the charitable giving of the I'll call them the liberals. That's probably not the politically correct word to use at this point in time, but those who are more societally liberal, more politically liberal, when you look at their charitable giving versus the charitable giving of those who are more politically conservative, the rubber is meeting the road, and the actions are not matching the words, unfortunately, when people use these words of charity and contributing.
Interestingly,
they're not showing it in their personal lives.
Interestingly, Billy, one of the many liberal presidential candidates who made $10 million last year gave $1,600 to charity. So then he tried to back out of it by saying, well, he does other things for charity. But, you know, $10 million and $1,600 just seems to be a bit of a disconnect.
All right. He's working class, though. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. If you had to vote, let's suppose there's no Republicans in the world, you had to vote for one of the Democrats. Anybody jump out as worthy of consideration?
Yeah, probably one or two that I think that are sort of middle of the road. Hickenlooper, of course, he got booed out in California for condemning socialism. But there are, you know, the Republicans don't have all the good people. Let's face it, there are good Democrats and good Republicans. The problem is that both parties are being pulled. The Republican Party is being pulled further to the right. The Democratic Party is being pulled further to the left. You know, 20 years ago, we had this whole group of blue dog Democrats. Guess what? They're all gone.
They collapsed. All right. 1-800-795-9565, our telephone number. Last commercial break. We will be right back.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the father of all sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade, period. It's the father of all sales going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, Cindy, thank you so much for waiting. You get a minute of fame, and I bet you don't even need that much.
Okay, I'll be quick. I think we should be careful about what we say about people's charitable endeavors. Those reports that come out about it are reflecting what you put on your IRS tax form. And I know for my husband and I, we don't report most of our charitable giving. We don't go through 501c3 blessed by the IRS organizations. We simply act. And I think that's the case, certainly in this community. I see that a great deal. So I think we should be careful about defining who's more charitable, because we really don't have a good number. I think there's a lot of charity that is what it really should be, which is unrewarded and unrecognized.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And is charitable donations as deductible as they were before? Did that change?
No, the charitable deductions have not been affected.
No change there. Okay. One of our listeners says, good morning. How long can Cindy go?
Hello.
Let me answer that. Oh, how low can Cindy go? I'm sorry about that. How low can Cindy go? Food stamps, I'm proud to not need them for my family, but if someone needs them, believe me, you are treated like a dog. You get $100 a month if you're lucky. We love to give to this and to that charity, but let a poor family come here illegally, shame on them. Trump is the most corrupt person, and you love him. We all have come from other countries and live here. Time to wake up and smell the stink, says Bob, who earlier said, good morning. I wish the Republicans would read the Mueller report. I would love to see how they would love to see how lawless our president is. Vote him out and lock him up, says Bob. So we appreciate that. Thank you for the emails. 1-800-795-9565. You'd have to be an ultra-speedy dialer, but, oh, my gosh, someone took us up on that. Somebody probably has us on redial. So we may get another call. A concluding remark from you while we have you here?
Well, I just, you know, when we look at immigration, and which is causing a lot of stress in our country right now, and causing a lot of disunity, we need to understand that everybody came here originally, ancestors came here originally from someplace else, but we came legally. we came to New York to the you know the through the immigration process, had to wait. Some were quarantined for weeks or months. And we don't want to.
Some were turned away immediately, and that was the end of it.
And you had no other choice. Put you back on the boat. So immigration is not the issue. It's how we come. You know, those that complain about the wall, you know, all these rich politicians that live in mansions that have walls around them, if walls don't work, why do they have walls? If walls don't work, why does Nancy Pelosi and her husband live in a mansion with a wall around it? Why does former President Barack Obama live in Washington?
Do they really?
They really do.
Okay.
Why does Barack Obama have a wall around his new residence in Washington, D.C.? Come on, people. You know, walls work.
All right, Dan, we're going to give you a quick opportunity here. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I often hear people say, I heard it this morning, Trump's a train wreck of a person.
Well, once again, me.
Know, how many politicians are train wrecks, and yet they're in politics for their whole life? And what I say is, if Trump's a train wreck for what he did for our country, the progress he gave us, you know what? We need a couple more train wrecks of people to get into politics and keep changing the direction that President Trump has put us in. I never saw a better time in all my voting years, the country gone positive, than I have since President Trump was elected.
I think you're right. The economy is booming. The jobs are back. Manufacturing jobs are back. Our former president said he would need a magic wand to do that. Well, somebody has evidently got the magic wand, because the jobs are back. People are working. We have more jobs, 7 million job openings, and only 5 million unemployed people. So, you know, we can't fill them all. And I realize that's some of the excuse for immigration. But let's make immigration legal immigration, not illegal immigration.
That's very correct. You know, I don't care who condemns me. I'm going to say thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a great president in the United States again. And you guys have a great day.
All right, thank you, Dan.
You had a great program.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Super appreciated. I learned so much from you. I always think of myself as a liberal, but I find myself speechless so often when I'm hearing these good arguments from you and our callers and our emailers. So I really do appreciate it. Thank you, everybody who participated. We got a slew of emails and no text today. So Stan had the day off, but we're glad some other folks were out there. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time. It's 10 o'clock.